Chapter 2. Truitt's first patient was waiting for him when he arrived an hour late to his office after writing all night. Mrs. Lowry began talking as he unlocked the door.
Dr. Beverly, I came by to discuss these sour risings I keep having, and to ask your opinion of the benefits of taking Dr. Pierce's golden medical discovery.
I think you're safe with that particular remedy, Mrs. Lowry.
Truitt motioned for her to have a seat, but she remained standing.
Dr. Beverly, I do love calling you that.
She smirked, and the wrinkles around her eyes and mouth deepened.
You've grown up so handsome and tall, and such a gentleman.
But you always were a good boy.
If only I had a daughter instead of four ornery sons.
She sighed, her calico bonnet shaking as the fold of skin under her chin rolled over the tightly tied bow.
But, Dr. Beverly, about this medicine. My sister Lavinia says there are some tonics that are just pure alcohol. I surely don't want to take anything like that.
No, ma'am. Dr. Pierce's remedies contain no alcohol. You can read the ingredient list right on the label on the side of the bottle.
Once he'd convinced her that that particular patented medicine was perfectly safe, she smiled and patted him on the arm.
Tell your mother I'll come to visit and bring her some of my plum jelly.
Yes, ma'am.
Truitt watched her through the window as she walked down the street. Then he sat down, tipped his chair back, and closed his eyes. He said a prayer that James had had an uneventful trip north last night. Truitt had ridden with him across the state line and watched him get on the train. He felt himself drifting off to sleep. The squeak and hiss of the train's brakes woke him. His eyes sprang open, and the chair wobbled beneath him. He leaned forward, setting all four legs back on the floor. The scent of coal smoke wafted under the door as the train screeched to a stop. As Truitt sat up and stretched, muffled shouts preceded the dull thumps of wooden crates being dropped onto the train platform as men unloaded freight that had reached its destination. He wandered over to the window and peered between the letters painted on the glass. Dr. Truitt Beverly, M.D. The railroad tracks divided Main Street, and he had a good view of nearly the entire row of buildings, few as they were. The depot was just off to the right. He watched as the train cars gave up a small portion of their load. A dainty black boot appeared on the top step of the passenger car, and a lady emerged, wearing a lilac-colored traveling suit and an enormous hat, complete with matching feathers and large flowers.
Woo-wee!
He hadn't seen the like of that hat since leaving medical school in New York City. And under it, Celia Wilcox. The breath went right out of him. She had only been to Bethel Springs once, 6 months ago in December. He'd never forget that day. Both of them standing in front of his medical office after she got off the train. He'd been the one to tell her that her father had died. His gut twisted at the memory. She'd covered her mouth with a gloved hand, and that beautiful, well-put-together lady fell apart right in front of his eyes. Her face crumpled, and tears poured down as she gasped and sobbed. It must have been because she was so young and pretty, tall and fashionable, but he hadn't expected her to break down in front of him. Her tears intensified the sharp stab of guilt through his chest. He'd been called on to save her father's life, and he'd failed. Hadn't even been able to extend the man's life long enough for his oldest daughter to get there and say goodbye. He'd been warned in medical school and by other doctors that such guilt feelings were out of place and unfounded. He couldn't let them into his mind, or they would interfere with his endeavors to practice his profession.